the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
It is your cue to call if your name is Larissa McAllister from Chandler. Larissa?
Once dated a girl named Larissa.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Larissa McAllister from Chandler. I've never heard you mention that before. Interesting. Larissa McAllister from Chandler. You have 10 minutes to call. 602. You've named a lot of names before. I've not heard that one before. Yeah.
She was from Lakewood, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. 10 minutes to call. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870 to win the ultimate virtual tailgate experience that includes a brand new $700 barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole sets. If Larissa doesn't call within 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines. But for now, Larissa McAllister from Chandler, you're on the clock. 10 minutes to call, 602-260-9870.
All right, you ready? We need some excuses for if the Astros win the World Series as to why it doesn't count. 60-game season. We need something.
Well, they're a sub-500 team. I mean, they've got a losing record. They should be disqualified from that standpoint alone right there, right?
Jeez.
I mean, they're up there, what is it, 5-1 now? 4-1? 4-1. 4-1. Middle of 4-1. The fifth. This is awful. They're going to win this series, and it's going to be an absolute nightmare. Absolute nightmare to see the Houston Astros in the World Series. Rob Manfred right now is like, please, no. No, no. No, 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 no. If you were to look at the stats, all right, and I know there's a lot of numbers, and I know we can twist and manipulate numbers to tell whatever story we want to tell. But the numbers for the Arizona Cardinals defense have been very good so far to start the season. Total defense, yards per game, they're 10th. Points, they're fifth fewest. Passing yards, fourth fewest. Third down defense, fourth best in the NFL. Sacks, they're seventh in the NFL with 14. Red zone defense, they're second in the league in that number. There are some categories they're not good at. Rushing yards, yards per carry, passer rating allowed. I'm not going to sit here and say it's perfect. But if it was defensive improvement we wanted, it would seem, Gambo, it's defensive improvement we've received so far from Vegas.
Yeah,
Joseph.
That's not even in question. I mean, big improvements for this defense. You know, last year it was the offense that had such big improvements. I mean, great improvements by the offense. This year it's been the defense so far. Now it's 5 games in. And they've got not a murderer's row, but they got tough games coming up. They got a good Cowboys offense, even without Dak. They've got Seattle coming up. They'll have Buffalo coming up, which with Allen and Diggs, and they'll have the Rams. So they've got tougher games coming up. So we'll get a better indication of just how good this defense is.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the crux behind. It's funny because we were talking about a couple of these stats, you and I, yesterday. The third down defense, the red zone defense. We added in total defense, points, things like that. And so all of this was fresh on my mind when I got in the car and drove, you know, to do the show. And I get in the car and it's Dan Bickley doing the Bickley Blast on the Bickley and Murata show. And maybe it's just because these numbers were bouncing around in my head, but I was very surprised to kind of hear him. I don't want to say he was going after Vance, but he was certainly kind of raising the bar of expectations on Vance Joseph when it comes to finding a role for the rookie Isaiah Simmons.
He should find a way to integrate Isaiah Simmons, especially since Steve Keim made it clear this morning that he indeed wants to see him on the field. Of course he does, because Simmons is trending well behind other defensive rookies in the NFL, and that does not reflect well on the GM who selected him.
And then part of Bickley's blast, too, was this idea that Vance could be in trouble by the bye week.
In the next couple of weeks, Joseph is facing a great offense and a great quarterback. A Monday night football game in Dallas and a division rival in Seattle. And then comes the bye week, where some really hard decisions might be coming into focus, including the value of the current defensive coordinator.
And so I'm trying to sync up these two ideas, Gambo, and I'm looking to you for help. So we've got these numbers that suggest the defense has done a much, much better job. And then at the same time, I've got this suggestion, and it's not just from Bickley, by the way. There are Cardinal fans out there who believe that Vance Joseph has to do a better job than what he's doing now. This idea that Vance could be in trouble by the bye week. How do I How do I sync these two ideas and reach the same conclusion?
Well, you'd have to forecast that they're gonna the defense is gonna fall apart against Dallas and Seattle and the games before the bye week. How many games before the bye week?
Two.
Just the two?
Just the two.
You would have to forecast that they get clobbered, that the offenses of Seattle and Dallas score 30 plus points, and this defense gets torched.
Yep.
So if you forecast that, and that could be, you know, simply what Bickley's doing, we're judging it right now. We're judging it with what we see. We see five games, and we see a defense that has been very improved. But they, you know, they played the Jets. They played Washington. Those two teams are awful.
Yeah.
And they played San Francisco, and they weren't very good that, you know, that week. And so I don't know if we just have to wait it out. I think that's what we have to do. You just have to wait it out and see. I don't think that Vance will get fired this year. I don't think you make that they'll fire the defensive coordinator during the season. I don't expect that. And right now it is, I mean, it really is forecasting because right now there's a lot of improvements that this defense. Now, you could say the Isaiah Simmons thing. I mean, that's legit. Why is he not playing? And that could be something that bothers a lot of people, that they've got this kid that was drafted 8th overall and he's not playing, and he should be. And I mean, I get that. But to predict he's going to get fired in 2 weeks, I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that if you're looking for the one thing that bothers Cardinal fans about Vance Joseph, I think that's it. I think it's the Isaiah Simmons thing. Because there's really now you're right. We could come in here 2 weeks now from now, and Dallas runs roughshod over that defense, and Seattle behind their MVP quarterback does the same thing. And we could very easily see us singing a different tune about Vance Joseph and this defense. It's like two conversations. One conversation is about what they've done, and the other conversation, as you point out, is about what they possibly could do in the next couple of weeks. And they could be two totally different conversations. But I think that the crux of the angst that Vance Joseph is facing is 100% about Isaiah Simmons and just, you know, where is he? How come he hasn't played? How come he's not contributing? How come? And we talked a lot about that. We will talk about that later, because it can't be based off of performance. You can't criticize Vance Joseph, in my opinion, off of the performance of the defense through five games, because it has been much, much, much improved from what it was a year ago. And if you're going to pick a reason to rip Vance Joseph, it just can't be that. If you want to rip him about Simmons, fine. If you want to rip him about what you think is going to happen in the next couple of weeks, that he might not be prepared for that, fine. But you can't rip him for what he's done so far, because what he's done so far is everything you would want him to do under these circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, that third down defense stat that we talked about yesterday was mind-blowing. I mean, they were 31st in third down defense last year, and now they're fourth. Like, okay, they're getting off the field on third down. It is on who you play, right? I mean, if they had opened up with Seattle and then Dallas and then you know, the Rams, I mean, it might be a different story.
Sure.
But you only play, you know, you play the teams that are in front of you. Right now through five games, you know, Vance, now he's going to have to do it without Chandler Jones. You know, that's, you know, now you're going to go without your best pass rusher. We'll see how things change. But what you're hoping for, too, is that after, you know, these with no preseason, that after these first four or five games, that other things start to click as well. This will be a tough challenge on Monday. It'll be a tough challenge. That team is just loaded offensively. Like, this game definitely will worry me.
Oh yeah, I'm worried about it too. I don't. I mean, I know Dallas isn't any good with their 1-4 record, but the offensive, it's worrisome to me too, and it's worrisome to me because this is going to be the first game without Chandler Jones. And I suppose that was probably the point of Dan Bickley's blast today on their show, was that there are things to be worried about. And is Vance Joseph the right guy to solve those problems? Is he the right guy to solve the Chandler Jones problem? Is he the right guy to solve the you're playing Seattle and then or Seattle and Dallas problem? Is he the right guy to solve the Isaiah Simmons problem? And those are all great questions. And we'll find out the next couple of weeks because, yeah, I'm with you. This Dallas game has me nervous. The Seattle game I'll be petrified by. Those are two top-notch offenses that this team is going to be playing, and it's probably going to be more on the Cardinals' offense to keep pace with those teams than it is the defense to slow them down, because it's going to be tough to slow them down.
But doesn't it seem like offenses are so far ahead? I mean, when you see these offenses that are scoring 30 points every game and putting up 400 yards, I mean, it just it, 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 it does seem like there are a lot of offenses that are ahead of defenses early in the season.
Yeah. The Arizona Cardinals will be looking to use a hodgepodge of players to make up for the loss of Chandler Jones. Just how healthy are those guys moving forward to Monday's game? Plus, do we have a winner in our ultimate virtual tailgate contest? We'll find out next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate.
We did not get a phone call from Larissa McAllister, which means caller number 10 at 602-260-9870. You will win the ultimate virtual tailgate experience. You'll win the $700 barbecue grill, the custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. Of course, you still have a chance to register and win by texting the word GATE to 620-620. That's GATE to 620-620. So you can win the ultimate virtual tailgate experience. Gambo, I think we went 0 for 5 this week. I don't know if we had one person call in. I don't think we
really
had, I don't think we had one person call in. Yeah. Wow. Man.
0 right. for 5?
Maybe 1 for 5. Maybe 1 for 5. But
what are we, Alex Avila?
That's good. Most people would go the Mendoza line, but you went with the Avila Avila line. I like that. That's good. Well played, Gambo. Well played. Steve Keim this morning on the Doug and Wolf show called it heartbreaking to see Chandler Jones out for the season.
It's heartbreaking. I mean, I've had a great relationship with Chandler since we drafted him, and I don't know if that stat is still accurate, but at one point he was led the NFL in sacks since the time we traded for him. And the person, I mean, he's the kind of guy that, reaches out to my kids and is certainly a fan favorite. I mean, the guy is such a likable person and a great human. So it's really hard for us to see.
Tweeted out today, surgery was a success. He had it today. Thank you for all of your well wishes. I appreciate the support. Can't wait to start this road to recovery. Comeback season 2021. Y'all just wait. Hashtag go Cards.
Yeah, that will be the last year of his contract, right? That will be the last year of his deal, 2021. Signed that 5-year deal. He's been worth every penny. He's been one of the best pass rushers in the entire National Football League. Cap space next year, that number is big. It's $20 million cap number. There's no guaranteed salary. There's no guaranteed salary. He's got a base salary and a prorated salary. I do not believe there's any guaranteed salary, but it is the last year of his contract. So you're not going to give him a contract extension. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to see how he recovers from this injury. And, hopefully it was early enough. Injuries like that earlier in the season are better than later in the season because it gives you more time.
No question about it.
To come back. Astros just made it 5-1 with a solo homer. But yeah, so, earlier in the season's better because now it's more time to recover from that injury.
Yeah, so now Cliff Kingsbury and Vance Joseph are tasked with figuring out who's going to take those snaps and try to, as best they can, duplicate that production. Now again, we all got to remember, we're talking about a player who had one sack in 5 games this year, and had he continued along that pace, we'd be talking about what a disappointment he's been. But we're kind of looking at the history of Chandler Jones and not the 2020 of Chandler Jones. That being said, Dennis Gardeck, Kylie Fitz, Devon Kennard, all dealing with injuries. Here's Cliff Kingsbury giving the injury update on those three guys today.
It's a banged up group. There's no question. I'm hopeful on all three. I don't know yet. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. They've all been limited in some capacity, but we'll see kind of how they progress tomorrow and then take it from there.
Gardeck today went from a did not practice to limited, so he got better. Fitz, DNP both days, Thursday and Friday. And now keep in mind, I need to clear this up too. The Cardinals actually didn't practice today, all right? Because of the Monday night game, they kind of altered their schedule. Their participation is an estimate according to the release they sent out. So they're estimating Fitz wouldn't have practiced. They're estimating that Devon Kennard would have been limited in practice, and they're estimated that Dennis Gardeck would have been limited in practice. Those are three big names in this equation coming into Monday night's game.
Yeah, and to me, the first guy that gets the opportunity should be Gardeck. He went out there and got 2 sacks last week in 10 snaps. I mean, that's the first – like he deserves the opportunity to get some snaps. It doesn't have to play the whole game. I'm not saying start him and play him the whole game. I'm saying he deserves an opportunity to go back out there and see if it was a fluke or not. I mean, you know, maybe he's got some good pass rushing skills. Plays with a high energy, great motor, a lot of effort. I give him opportunities again. I don't want to start him and play him the whole game, but I'm definitely going to get a long look at guard deck and give him opportunities to see if he can rush the passer. Maybe it's something that they've never used him in that capacity, but only used him on special teams. You know, but maybe given the opportunity, he took advantage of it. Maybe there's more to him than just being a special teams player.
He was on our show with us on Monday after the game. I know he was on Big Red Rage last night, too, and he basically said, look, I get it. I understand. I'm a little undersized when it comes to what you'd want out of that position. But you're going to tell me I get to go rush the passer? That's what I want to do. I would love the opportunity to be able to do that every single Sunday. The snap percentages, the counts, how it goes, that's really going to be something to watch. But no matter what, just like Steve Keim said this morning with Duggan Wolf, you're never going to replace a guy like Chandler Jones.
I said this weeks ago that there are certain players you cannot replace, and you can't replace Chandler Jones. Now, collectively, as a group, we all have to step up, but you can't replace Chandler Jones. I mean, unfortunately, Deacon Jones in his prime is not out there. But you have to do the best you can, and you got to continue to work the waiver wire. You got to look at trade options. And those are moving parts that happen every day.
Yep. And there was another player. Who was it? It was in my notes to you today that they brought in for a look-see. Who was it? Sorry, I should have had this name in front of me, and I don't know why I don't. But there was another former linebacker.
It was Reggie Gilbert.
Reggie Gilbert. Just found it. Yep, Reggie Gilbert. They brought in, according to the transaction list, they brought in Reggie Gilbert for a tryout, former Packers, former Titans outside linebacker, 3 seasons in the league, played with the Titans last year, had 5 starts, 22 sacks.
I think he played at U of A.
22 tackles and 1 sack. I believe you're correct, actually, now that you mention that.
Yeah, I think he's a U of A guy.
Let's see. Let's see what the old Google machine says. Yeah, played at
Google
Arizona.
It.
Yeah, Google it. Google me, Chuck. Google me. He's from Levine. He was born in Levine.
Was he? I didn't know. See, I didn't know. I just knew he was a U of A kid.
Yeah, he went to Fairfax High School in Levine. He went to the University of Arizona. The things you learn when you listen to the Burns and Gambo show, even when you host the Burns and Gambo show, the things you learn. I had forgotten that he went to U of A.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I don't, you know, I haven't gotten any word on him. You know, they bring guys in on a regular basis, always looking at guys. I haven't heard anything on whether he's going to sign yet. Still, you know, a little bit of time left in the show. I'll try to find out what I can. But in the meantime, I think you go in with Gardeck, you go in with Fitz, you go in with Reddick, and you give these guys an opportunity, and you do it by committee.
Yeah.
You know, you're replacing a really fantastic football player, and no one player is going to replace him, but you may try several guys and just see which guy ends up on top.
A couple other quick notes about the Cardinals as they go into this game on Monday night in Dallas. Remember, there'll be 25,000 fans there. They have opened up much more of their stadium than many other NFL teams. Kingsbury hoping that provides the Cards a little juice.
I think it'll provide some sort of spark, no question. It's already one of the most storied venues in the world, and then you throw in Monday night and the fans and the energy. I'm excited for our players to be able to play in front of that, and hopefully it brings a little juice.
And then the Cardinals today announced that they are upping the number of fans they're going to let into the building for their next home game against Seattle. Of course, against Detroit, they had brought in about 750 friends and family. It appears that number is going to be the same. And then on top of that, adding another 400 to 500 fans.
That many? Wow, place is going to be loud.
Sarcasm is duly noted. I can hear it. Hey, you got to start somewhere.
400 fans?
You got to start somewhere, Gambo. You get
get there early.
The long journey
those lines.
Begins with a single step, my friend. It will be, those seats will be made exclusively available to season ticket members in account seniority order, and Jordan was just reading his season ticket letter to me, and apparently the way it's going to work is once they've gone through that list, like let's say they let 600 people in, okay, then the next time they do it, they'll start with number 601 and then work from there. So if you get in, you'll only get in once? It sounds like it. Based off of the letter Jordan read to me, it kind of sounds like you're going to get in, you'll get in once, and then they'll move to the next people on the list, and just I imagine eventually that number goes up. I just don't know when. I don't know exactly how it looks like.
Yeah, but I don't know either. I don't know either. But listen, if the Dallas has 25, it's different all over the place, right? I'm watching baseball games. There's fans at these baseball games now, not full crowds, but there's fans. And, you know, some places are taking it slow, and some places are throwing 25,000 people together. And, you know, the Cardinals will have 1,200 people in. And I would imagine you're right. I would imagine if everything goes right, that will increase, and then you'll get more people. And I don't think that we'll ever see at any point this year a full stadium. I mean, I just don't expect that.
No, I think you are absolutely right. Our virtual tailgate winner, Kevin McCullough, we appreciate him calling in. When we come back, Isaiah Simmons, he's not produced anywhere close to what we thought he would when the Cardinals drafted him. Why is he not ready for the NFL, if indeed he's not? That's coming up here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Burns and Gambo on this Friday afternoon, moving into Friday evening here in Phoenix. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Patrick Peterson. Now, bear in mind, this sound from Patrick Peterson is about a week and a half old. We just stumbled on it today. Thanks to our friends over at CardsWire. They put out a story that used a lot of these quotes, and I kind of sent it in the group email, and we went to go find it. We couldn't believe we hadn't heard this sound before, and we realized why. It was from last week. But we still think it's kind of relevant because it's Patrick Peterson talking about Isaiah Simmons. And there's just been so much talk this week about Simmons and why the Cards rookie hasn't been able to get on the field. And on this podcast, the All Things Covered podcast last week, Patrick Peterson said, quite frankly, it's up to the coaches to figure out how to use him.
Where can we put him to help him be successful on the field? That's going to come down to coaches. You know, that's what they get paid to do, you know, putting, you know, their best players in positions to be successful. So, you know, he can play anything. He can play the mold, he can play safety, but at the same time, you know, as a safety, what safety are you going to put him in front of? You know, what linebacker are you going to put him in front of? You know what I mean? What outside linebacker are you going to put him in front of? So that's the thing. So hopefully we can find a role for him here pretty soon, because he's definitely a great talent. You know, don't get me wrong about that. He's definitely a great talent. And I can't wait to see him start to flourish in this league here pretty soon.
But again, what role? Whose role? What spot? Who do you take time away from to get Isaiah Simmons
on the
field?
Patrick Peterson came in as a rookie and played all 16 games. So, he did. I mean, he came in as Patrick Peterson as a rookie, played every single game.
Sure.
So he's, you know, he was good enough to play. Isaiah Simmons apparently is not good enough to play right now. And it is a major story here. I mean, I wonder what the people in Clemson are thinking. Like, I wonder what Dabo's thinking. Like, why is he not playing? The kid was an unbelievable talent, versatile player that could play all these positions. But in the NFL, he's really projected to be an inside linebacker. Right now, they've got two inside linebackers that are doing a pretty good job. I mean, Hicks has struggled a little bit, especially with tackling. But he's a veteran player that you paid a lot of money to. And Devondre Campbell's been really good. So who does he play in front of? You know, you could try to find some packages for him to maybe get him to play some other positions. But he's a front seven guy. He's not a secondary guy. He's not a safety. So, but what he is, with his height and his speed and his size, is he's a front seven guy, mostly inside linebacker, maybe a little bit of outside linebacker. But the question really is, like, who is he going to play in front of?
Yeah, I mean, to me, there's three basic options here right now. And maybe this is a real simple way of looking at it, but option number one is that the coaches have done a poor job of either preparing him for this moment or finding ways for him to contribute. Number two, they overvalued him and overdrafted him, and he's just not as good as they thought he was when they picked him in April. Or number three, that he's just not ready yet for whatever reason, and it's not a Vance Joseph blame thing, and it's not a Steve Keim thing yet. It's just not ready to come out of the oven just yet. The meal is not cooked. It's not prepared. It needs a little more time. And given the production of the players in front of him, it's okay to wait on this because there's no pressing need to get him out there. They've been okay without him up until this point. But you know how it goes. People are always looking for somebody to blame in a situation like this, and they're trying to figure out, is it Vance's fault for not coaching him? Is it Steve's fault for drafting him too high? Did they miss on the kid? Did they miss on the player? Are they not? People are always looking for someone to blame, and I sense that we're starting to get to that point with Isaiah Simmons. Someone's looking for somebody to blame about why he's not playing right now.
Well, I was reading one story today, and it was said Isaiah Simmons getting outplayed by almost everyone. And it's a story out of Carolina. And it says it's not just Jeremy Chinn of Carolina outplaying former Clemson superstar Isaiah Simmons. It's nearly every rookie defender. Not only are these guys outplaying Simmons in terms of on-field performance, they are literally outplaying him by a lot. Simmons has just 57 snaps. How's that possible? What's Vance doing? Is Simmons not fully healthy? Hard to know exactly what's going on because Simmons is simply not seeing snaps. And a lot of the NFL circles, it's being talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Chinn leads all rookie defensive players with 44 tackles in 5 games. And Simmons isn't getting an opportunity to play. And you wonder, is it really that the guys ahead of him are that much better? Or is he not grasping it? Or is Patrick Peterson right? Technically, he's not ready.
Yeah, here's that soundbite from Peterson in which he said, technically, he's not ready. It comes at the end. But listen to this.
When he was in college, he played so many different positions. And to me, in college, it's not as complex as it is in the league. Him not having, you know, an off season to be able to really find out what position will be good for him versus doing the virtual meetings and things like that. And also, you know, I'm sure they didn't expect, you know, DC to have the season that he's having, you know, because it's hard to put.
Campbell can play.
You know what I mean? It's hard to put, you know, that type of guy on the bench when necessarily your first rounder is not technically ready.
Your first rounder is not technically ready. Why is he not technically ready? Because he's not been coached, because he was overdrafted, or because he's just – it's just taking longer for whatever reason with him than it is for other guys. And I don't know, but you can just feel it. You can feel the heat on this, Gambo, getting turned up a little bit over the course of this past week. Like you say, people are talking about it across the country. We're certainly talking about it here locally. Steve Keim today was asked if Isaiah Simmons could fill in for Jones. Listen to the first thing he says in answering the question about Isaiah Simmons.
I just want him on the field. That being said, I know there are things that can stunt a player's growth. And when you want a guy to play inside linebacker and he's your future, you know, getting a player to get experience with his eyes and his instincts and his reads and reactions, it's one thing. But, you know, whenever you're talking about moving a player to the outside, asking him to do different things now, that's for the team, and that's fine if he can handle that. But he's got to be significantly better than what you already have playing out there. So there's a number of things that go into the decisions. Obviously, we have all those talks behind the scenes with Vance and Cliff, but we're certainly trying to put the best 11 out there that we can.
Yeah, Steve obviously wants the guy to play. He drafted him with the 8th overall pick, you know, and he's not oblivious to the fact that all these other rookies are playing. Offensive linemen drafted after him, wide receivers drafted after him, or even linebackers drafted after him. He's not oblivious to that. But Steve also did a good job in bringing in Jordan Hicks and bringing in Devondre Campbell. And, you know, if this kid really is only, you know, going to play inside linebacker, and you're trying to win football games, and he struggled in that first game, you may be reluctant to play him. If Patrick Peterson's right, he just needs more time. Yeah. Now, if a year from now, If we're talking about Isaiah Simmons reps a year from now, and it's not 80% of the reps, yeah, now somebody's gonna have some splaining to do. Lucy.
Oh yeah, I'll shorten it even than that. I think a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 games from now, 7 games from now, if we're still talking about Isaiah Simmons getting 10 snaps per game, that's when you start to wonder. Okay, because. Something Steve said in there kind of triggered a response with me. If the guys ahead of him are better than Isaiah Simmons, okay, that's fine. But didn't we anticipate that by week 6, Isaiah Simmons would be the significantly better option over Devondre Campbell? I mean, didn't we kind of think that it was going to happen by now? I mean, maybe a little soon, but we're kind of coming up to that point in time where I would have thought by now the 8th pick overall in the draft would have just been so talented, so skilled, so good, he would have demanded playing time with his ability over Devondre Campbell. And the fact that it hasn't even come close to happening yet makes me think he is way, way behind in this.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he's playing 10 snaps and it's five games, you know, with five, you're going into the sixth game of the season and he's getting 10 to 13 snaps, he's way behind. Now, at some point, maybe you give him an opportunity and you see what he could do, you know, and sub packages, like get him out there in sub packages and see what he could do. So that's not saying that he's going to play, you know, 80% of the snaps, but it's also not saying that he's going to play 10 snaps in the game. It may depend on the circumstances, too. I mean, close games, they may be very reluctant to play him in a close game, afraid that he's going to make a mistake.
Yeah, just a few days ago, they looked like they were as good as dead and done and over. Can the Astros pull off the rarest of baseball achievements? Boy, they're getting close. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Coors Light, what's on tonight? The games that we are going to watch this evening brought to you by Coors Light. Sports is back. Heads of cold beers and cheeseburgers for draft specials and watch your team today. Did they just score another run? Yeah, they did.
5-1 Astros.
Yep. Game 7. Here it comes.
I don't think they just scored a run. I think they scored that run a while ago, but they got a runner on second right now. Yeah, the Rays just didn't. They're not hitting. The Rays just decided that they don't want to hit. They don't want to score any runs.
Yep. If your name isn't Randy or Rosarina, I think everybody else combined is hitting, and I'm not making this up. I think it's like 173 so far this series. The Rays are not hitting at all.
And now we might have another team that overcomes a 3-0 deficit. So the Yankees aren't the only one that blew a 3-0 deficit.
Well, I mean,
Astros will have a chance tomorrow. I have no idea who's pitching in that game tomorrow for Houston or Tampa Bay. But I saw, you know, of course, all hands on deck.
Yeah, with Snell going today, I don't know. I don't know who would be pitching tomorrow. It is 6-1 right now in top of the seventh. And Gambo, you are absolutely right in that history has shown us in baseball, you go up 3-0, that series is done. That series is over. So much so that I think you go up 3-0 and there's only one team that has ever even forced a seventh game in that situation, and it was the 0-4 Boston Red Sox, and they won it. And you know, you're obviously a Yankee fan. Just the demoralizing feeling that comes with blowing a 3-0 lead and having a Game 7 forced upon you, it's going to be hard to go into that game and win it, right? I mean, because you already feel like you're a colossal failure for blowing the 3-0 lead, which is why I've said all along today that if the Astros win this game and now it's 6-1 and they've got runners at second and third and nobody out in the top of the seventh, they're about to really blow this thing wide open. If they win this game 6, I'm betting the house that they win tomorrow in game 7 because I think the Rays are going to be demoralized to the point of almost shame.
They won that must-win game against the Yankees, the one where Brousseau homered off of Chapman in the eighth. They Glasnow pitched two innings, then Anderson, and then Fairbanks and Castillo. They won that with a bullpen game. Like, they won it. Now, they could go Yarbrough in this game tomorrow. Tampa Bay can. So they could go Yarbrough. They won those. Man, they won those first three games.
Yeah.
You know, 2-1, 4-2, 5-2, and then they've lost. This is the first game they're getting blown out. They lost the last two games, they lost 4-3.
Yeah, and this one, the Astros are feeling it. The Astros are feeling it, and they might very well become the second team in Major League Baseball to come all the way back from a 3-0 hole. They certainly are going to be the second team in baseball to force a Game 7 after being down 3-0. But like I say, once you've come that far, it's hard to believe they won't go all the way and win Game 7. So we very well could still be looking at our nightmare scenario of having the Astros in the World Series.
I'm going to say Tampa throws Morton because he pitched really well against them.
Okay,
and I'm
going to
say Houston
sense.
Goes with McCullers.
Okay, yeah, that matchup makes sense considering what's going on earlier in this one. So 6-1 right now could be even more than that. And then coming up later tonight, 6-10 this evening, it's the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves, and mercifully, our fears of a Dodgers. Now, it still could happen. I mean, down 3-1, it's happened before. It's not like 3-0. But with Clayton Kershaw not pitching well last night, The Dodgers getting punked by Atlanta. The Braves are up 3-1. One more win for Atlanta. They advance to the World Series. Hopefully, they're able to take care of business so we can avoid the humiliation of a Dodgers-Astros World Series next week. We could all do without that.
Yeah. And I mean, we've got plenty of time now to start thinking of excuses if the Astros do win for why it's not legitimate. I mean, that's what we have. We will be the biggest Braves fans in the world.
What's going to be your number one excuse? You got yours already?
No, I don't have one yet.
I don't have one. I got to work on that.
I'll come up with one.
They're going to be insufferable if they win it all.
Oh my God! Oh yeah, they're going to see no banging on drums, no nothing.
Bregman's going to be insufferable.
No Verlander, no Cole, and they win the damn World Series.
Altuve's going to be insufferable. I said it last week, and I believe it. Had it been the Astros versus the Dodgers in the World Series, I would have rooted for the Dodgers. I would have rooted for the Dodgers just to avoid Bregman and Altuve and Correa thumping their chests and telling you that they never cheated. They were the best team all along. This validates it. This proves it. Ugh, I get nauseated just thinking about it. So that's what's going on tonight. Tomorrow, college football. It's not a great schedule with the exception of one great game.
Great game.
Georgia versus Alabama tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Number two versus number three. Best offense, best defense. Two teams that are probably going to meet again in the SEC championship game. Hopefully, one team dominates the other team by winning both of their games this year, because a split, I would fear, doesn't do the Pac-12 any good at all.
No, and I do think they're going to play each other twice. I think these are the two best teams. You said earlier to me that Saban could end up coaching in this game on the sideline.
Yep, he could. If he has another negative test, they might clear him to be on the sideline.
Interesting. That's interesting. Listen, Georgia's good. I mean, I watched them last week against Tennessee. They're legit. And they beat Auburn. They beat Tennessee. You know, Bama struggled. I mean, Lane Kiffin's team ran all over them or passed all over them. I mean, this isn't the same Bama defense we're used to. Georgia's defense is number one. Bama's offense is actually really good. So it's a defense versus offense game. I mean, usually history, Bama wins these games. The last two times they played, Bama won by 3. Bama won by 7. They usually win these tough, hard-fought games. I'm going Georgia in this game. Even on the road, I'm going with Georgia. I just... There's something about that Alabama defense being that bad that worried them. Maybe they come out and they kick some ass, but there's something about that Bama defense being that bad that makes me think they're going to lose this one.
Yeah, and then real quick from the NFL, still no word about the state of the Patriots game against the Broncos. There was another positive test, COVID test from the Patriots, and now suddenly that game, which has already been moved twice, there's real questions about whether they're going to be able to play it. There's been no resolution of that at all, so we'll kind of wait and see when it comes to the Patriots and the Broncos and whether that's going to happen on Sunday. I do know the Patriots had to close their facility again today and cancel practice because of another COVID test. So we got that. We also got the rundown with Luke Lipinski. It is coming up next after us right here on the Burns and Gambo show. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll be back with you as part of the roundtable with Vince and Dan on Monday. Until then, thanks for hanging out with us here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Have a great night, everyone.